Welcome back to Word on the Hills. Today we're speaking with Pat Calder about her latest book, her account of a visit to Sable Island. So Pat, tell us about the history of the island. Was it always regarded as a dangerous place?
Well, it was given the nickname the Graveyard of the Atlantic because there are 350 shipwrecks lining its shores. Of course, they're in the water, so you can't see them. But there was a very famous movie that was made about the sinking of the Andrea Gale.
All right.
No survivors. And that was based on the real Andrea Gale that sank around Sable Island. However, the movie did not picture Sable Island at all. It pictures an island with trees and with a stone lighthouse, and none of that is true. But the sinking of the Andrea Gale is true.
Yes, because I guess they couldn't actually do it on Sable Island because it's protected and you can only get there with a permit and all that sort of stuff.
Well, it would be difficult to run, movie cameras around on dollies and things like that when everywhere is sand.
Yeah, no facilities or anything else.
Yeah.
Has anyone ever lived there?
Oh, yes. Yes, many people have lived there. In the beginning, as far as people were concerned, there was a life-saving station set up because of all these shipwrecks, and there were likely to be more because of the masts and everything protruding under the water. So the life-saving station was set up, and believe it or not, there was a farm established. There were cows and pigs and sheep and chickens, all to feed the people who were the life-saving station people and the people that they would rescue, because they would often be there for months until another boat could come by and rescue them. So there were all these animals. There were crops that were grown, a lot of potatoes.
Yeah, so much sand.
Yes, right. And so horses were brought to the island in the beginning to help with the life-saving equipment, to haul booty back and forth from these sunken vessels, because the booty, of course, would wash up on shore, and then the people would rescue the booty and sell it back in Halifax when they had the chance. So the horses were useful, and they eventually were just left there. They were more or less abandoned there. There was a Bostonian man from Boston, who brought a number of horses to the island, and there were all different breeds of horses. There were large and small and ponies, and so all of this DNA mixed together and made the Sable Island horse a very strong genetically, so there's no danger that they will interbreed and cause problems because the DNA is so diverse.
And are there still people living there?
I wouldn't say living. There are park representatives who are there. They come and go. They're stationed there for a period of time, and they come and go from Halifax or wherever. And there are people who come, like scientists, come to study weather. And people come to study the horses. There's one woman, Zoe Lucas is her name, and she has spent over 40 years studying the horses. And when a horse dies, she cuts off the hooves and sends them to a lab in Boston. So that's why we know so much about these horses, because of Zoe Lucas.
Well, it's kind of nice to know they're not, a whole lot of people, because that seems like a very delicate ecosystem that they've established over the time, and we don't want to mess that up.
That's right. There are very few buildings on the island for that reason.
So it's a protected national park then?
Yes. Do you know that there are five levels of national parks, and the Sable Island is the highest protected level.
Okay, so that's why you had to get a special permit.
That's right.
Right. Now, you've recorded your experiences with the most beautiful photographs, which of course we can't see on the radio, which is unfortunate, and also your own observations
experience.
And feelings about it and so on. But you're not the first person to record experience of Sable Islands. Do you know of any others?
Yes, there are a few other books that I looked at for my reference points. And also, Damien Lidgard is one that I remember. The very first book that I read about Sable Island was Thomas Raddle's The Nymph and the Lamp, which is a fiction mm-hmm. of a woman on the island. There's a famous New York photographer, Roberto Dutesco, who has the most amazing pictures. Mm-hmm. You can see them on YouTube. And there's a song by Stompin' Tom Connors. There's a song by Catherine McKinnon. It's the kind of place that attracts people who want to know about mysteries. And,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much. Well, I would love to hear more about some of the writing that has gone with your photographs there. So would you read to us again?
Okay. An old lone stallion limps on shovel-shaped hooves. There are no rocks or stones on Sable to wear down the hooves naturally, and no veterinary or farrier services. I observe a family of horses grazing in a valley. Another family is slowly approaching, grazing as it moves. Each family is being herded by its stallion. The two stallions eye each other surreptitiously. Eventually, the first family is driven by its stallion toward the new family, pressuring it to move in a game of who owns the valley. The first family wins and goes back to grazing. The second family is forced to climb the ridge and find another sweet spot. Our third day, we awaken to fog as thick as chowder. Sable Island has about 130 days a year with at least 1 hour of fog. We don our gear and head downstairs to the dock. Our Zodiac driver wears a walkie-talkie on his collar. We remain silent as he listens for directions from the shore crew. We head off into nothingness. Soon we are swallowed in a white mist so dense we can taste it. Within minutes we can see neither ship nor island. The only sounds are the Zodiac motor, the slapping of the waves, and the static of the walkie-talkie. Our location is 300 kilometers southeast of Halifax in the Atlantic Ocean. The water is 7 degrees. The swells about 6 feet. Thanks to the skills of Atlantic Canada's crew, we do land safely. But after a few hours, our final visit to Sable Island is cut short by thickening fog. The next morning, the surf is too high to risk a Zodiac landing. Our permit having expired, we sail away from Sable Island toward an unbroken horizon of peachy haze. As I look back at the crescent in the sea, a melancholy mixed with gratitude fills me. I have been one of the few people privileged to experience the powerful allure of this mythical place. Now it is only a dream again.
Wow. And it's interesting because the little excerpts that you've read to us paint a picture of quite a wild life, a dangerous life filled with tension for these horses all the time. They're always trying to defend their territory. It's not sort of the peaceful, idyllic, you know, gem in the middle of the ocean.
Well, it's a very natural life for a horse. Mm-hmm. If you study the herds that are in the western states, for example, they live that same kind of life where they're always being challenged by some stallion from some other herd who wants to grab all the mares, you know.
Yeah.
That's their life.
Well, many thanks, Pat, for coming in and telling us about your beautiful, beautiful book. It's called The Horses of Sable Island. Where can listeners buy the book?
They contact me. I do have a website with a few pictures on of Sable Island, www.patriciacalder.ca.
Right. And, of course, your novel, which we didn't talk about today, but where is that available? It's called Roadblock.
It is available also from me on my website, or it's on Amazon, and it's on Kindle.
Great.
And Kobo.
Wonderful. Well, many thanks for coming in, Pat. We've been talking with Pat Calder today about her photography book with personal experiences written inside called Sable Island. And perhaps you'll come back when you have your next photography book, because I'm not going to give away the secret, but I know you've been working on a new project.
Thank you.
And listeners, if you would like to connect with us with comments, queries, or suggestions for whom we might interview in future programs, please go to our website, www.wordonthehills.com, where you will find all the programs archived, and you can leave your comment there. We'd love to hear from you. So thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us again for another program next week, right here on Northumberland 897, Truly Local Radio.